I came across an acrostic. You say, what is an acrostic? An acrostic is when you take a certain word and you have different letters that mean certain things, like the word victory. It has its own kind of a sermon point. V stands for something, I stands for something, C stands for something, and so on. And I came across an acrostic from an old preacher, and I enjoyed what I read of the acrostic, and I thought I'd share some of it with you. We won't make it through the whole word victory today. We'll probably make it through a couple letters, but it's one of the things I think that we need to hear and hear often. Sometimes when I preach, like this morning's passage of scripture we're going to talk about in the Sunday morning service, is something I think is needed to be heard on a regular basis. And because of that, you might hear me preach from the same passages of scripture every few years. And the purpose of that is because that's what God lays upon our heart, but because of the necessity of it too. And victory in our Christian life is such a key, because there are so many Christians today that are not living a victorious Christian life. There are so many people that are giving in to sin, and they believe the lie that the devil has told us, that we don't have any other choice. You're stuck. You got that sin nature. Might as well give up. No sense trying. But we can have victory through Jesus Christ. And the theme verse that I chose is, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So today I'd like to look through this thought and look through these letters and probably get through two or three of the letters today of things, ways that we get victory. And each of these things are something that gives us an advantage point or something that's kind of help us along our way. And I think it's something that you'll be able to pick up and enjoy, because I know that the Bible speaks about us being in a battle, calls it a war, and it's a war zone. I mean, he tells us to put on armor. Our Christian life is supposed to be something that we are standing every day. Stand therefore, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, encourages us to put on the whole armor of God. Why are we putting armor on if it's not there's not a purpose? The devil is trying to rob you of your joy. The devil is trying to rob you of your strength. The devil is trying to rob you of your power. And today, I'd like to look at some different ways we gain victory, some very practical things I think can help you and encourage you along the way. So let's go ahead and jump right in. The first letter is V, obviously, for the word victory. It is to be vigilant, or vigilantly guard against sin. One of the things we need to understand in our Christian lives is how to be vigilant. And you come to that word, you say, what's the word vigilant means? It means to alertly watchful, to be alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. And I thought of 100 different ways to illustrate that. And one of the best ways I remember is one time my wife saw a snake inside our garage. And that's kind of scary up there at the parsonage. For a long time, she would be, as soon as she opened up that door, she'd be peeking her head out, and she was being vigilant. She was looking for that snake. And there's been different times in my life that there are certain times when I felt like I need to be vigilant. Certain times where I need to be really, really careful. As a boy, I remember I was 8 or 9. I was staying home by myself. Didn't do that often. And I lived in a kind of a bad neighborhood. You know, some of the spots where they pick kids up on the bus on the project areas. And I remember one time something was going on in her kitchen. I was back in my bedroom, and I started hearing a noise. And boy, I was scared half to death, because, like I said, her neighborhood wasn't the greatest. My dad was a police officer, so they didn't mess with us very often. But I kept on hearing something. And the side of our house had this little hole, and I don't know what it was for. I mean, I think maybe it was for a gas dryer back then or whatever. But there was a little hole that was covered up with cardboard. We weren't. Like I said, we weren't very wealthy at the time, and still aren't, and my parents still are. And somebody had taken that cardboard and ripped it out, and they were taking handfuls of dirt, and they were just throwing it into the house. Why? I don't know why, but I tell you, that night I was scared, and I knew I should have went out, and if there was a phone, because you know you have a phone in so many places nowadays, you know, you can just pull it open in your pocket, I probably would have called 911, but the only phone we had was in the spot that was making all the noise. And so I'm there, and I'm walking out as 8, 9-year-old boy, and I'm thinking, looking around the corner outside my house, just trying to figure out what's going on, because it wasn't a normal noise. You was just hearing things, and I went in there, and I bet you if I would have turned the light on, it would have just went away. But I walked out there, and I finally saw you know, that there was a bunch of dirt on the floor, which I was thankful wasn't anything worse than that. And I didn't clean it up. I left it there for my parents to see, because you know they wanted to see it, right? It's because I didn't want to clean it up either. I think in the end I probably hadn't, but I was very careful when I was walking. I was watching and was being alert, and I was especially trying to avoid danger. When I was I used to manage restaurants about 17 and three quarters, I got to have the opportunity to start being the assistant manager. One of the jobs I had was to carry money to the bank. And so late at night, after everything was closed, which doesn't make much sense, about 11 or 12 o'clock, I would take my car and I'd go to the safe, the place where you drop it off, and take the few $1,000, probably $3,000 or $4,000, and drop it off there. But same thing with that. I would ride around the bank a couple times because I didn't want anybody to come rob me, especially when it was Mother's Day, when the money would triple. My boss used to say, make sure you, and he would walk around the restaurant with a gun on his hip. And he was like, he was making sure that the owner was making sure that he was being vigilant about it. And I used to circle that bank. I used to walk up. Sometimes I had some of those guys that worked back in the dish room, you know, those guys that you really didn't want the public to see, but they were big and strong, but they were kind of scary looking. Those guys would ride with me to the bank sometimes and drop it off because of the fact that I didn't want anybody to bother me. I was very careful. And when I got out of the car, looked around, I walked very careful. You might have your own story where you had to be very vigilant when it comes to something, where you had to be very, very careful. And I can imagine when most of us would remember this verse that says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And Peter wrote this obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote it that way. Can you imagine him saying it? You know, sometimes some preachers are quiet. Sometimes some preachers are really loud. I can't see him saying this very passive. I can see him being, you know, look, pay attention. You know, be sober. Take this seriously. Sometimes when your parent says something to you, sometimes when your mom would say something, you better not do that. You listen, you realize if you do it, you're going to get in trouble. But then when you hear your mom say, you do that, I'm going to kill you, then you realize that you better not. And so it's the same thing here. I think he's speaking with the expression that, hey, look, take this seriously. Be vigilant about this. You have an adversary, you have an enemy, and you need to learn to be vigilant. And I thought, as I was thinking about the letter V, and I used to be really careful about how I would ride around the bank, or I'd be very careful about the noise I heard out in the kitchen, or my wife would be very careful walking down those steps for at least a year because of that snake that was there. She would be very, very careful and very alert. And I'm wondering how many times we're careful about how we deal with sin, how alert we are. We have an enemy, and that enemy is trying to destroy us. He is not a cartoon character. Sometimes people put him with that pitchfork and that tail, but he is watching us. He is looking at our weaknesses. He capitalizes on them. He actively seeks to pull us into sin. In fact, we need to understand Satan's attacks. We need to be aware of it. We must learn to be vigilant. If we're saved, of your life, if we can sometimes live our lives thinking, hey, the devil's going to attack the preacher, the devil's going to attack the missionary, the devil's going to attack someone who's in some type of full-time service, that's not true. He's not just attacking them. And sometimes the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. Many Christians and many believers just have not become vigilant about their Christian lives, and they let sin come in, and they let the devil affect them. And I'm telling you, if we're going to be sober, we're going to be vigilant. If we're going to have victory, we're going to be vigilantly guarding against sin. The Bible says about how to keep your heart with all diligence. And that purpose of being diligent, we're going to look at that in a second. The devil's looking for an opportunity to destroy you. He's willing to use whatever trick possible. There are certain things that we would never cross a line with. There are certain things that we would never do. There are certain things that we say, that'd be too wrong, that'd be too bad. The devil's not like that. The devil will do whatever he can. That's why I think Peter is saying here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in very strong words, realize there is a battle going on. Realize that the devil is looking for whom he may devour. He's not just looking for somebody he may trip up. He's looking for someone he can destroy. And the instant that we show weakness, Satan takes advantage. That's why we're commanded in the Bible to take heed lest we stand. Too many people are deceived into themselves thinking that they are strong enough to resist temptation. They're strong enough to avoid the tragic consequences. But in all reality, it's something we need to make sure that we're working on and being vigilant. For a number of years, I played soccer. I probably played every single position that was there for soccer. And back in high school, I actually wasn't too bad at it. One position I didn't play because of the fact that it didn't seem very much fun to me was something they called goalie. They have another word for goalie that means it's the keeper. And that's the guy that protects the goal. He's the only guy on the field that's supposed to use their hands. So the keeper's there. You know what the keeper's doing? He's watching everything that's going on. And he's watching for the guys that are coming because those guys can use their feet to try to kick the ball into the goal and the keeper's hands to stop it. If the keeper's going to be a good keeper, you know what he's going to do? He's going to be diligent. He's going to keep on watching. He's going to always be looking for where the ball's at. Now, if the ball's on the other side of the field, that's one thing. He might not be as vigilant about it. But as the ball becomes closer, he's got to keep his eye open because just within a few seconds, I've seen guys kick the ball from half field in a way that they could actually make it into the goal. I've seen guys that have been talented enough to throw the ball into the goal from the throw-in. You're not allowed to do that. It's got to touch somebody. But I've seen people, and he's got to know it just at that second. And he's keeping the goal safe. He's doing whatever he can. And with that word, it makes me think of that word, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of there are the issues of life. When I think of the word diligence, it's a picture of someone who's consistent, a picture of someone who's disciplined, someone who is vigilant. And it comes to my mind is that someone who is fighting against that sin that so doth easily beset us. If we were honest, most of us would say, I know I struggle with this area in my life. But are we being vigilant against it? If it's something that, maybe something that's online. I've heard different people give testimonies about some online things called covenant eyes, where they block out certain websites, but also everything you've looked at, you send to an accountability partner to where they can see. You know, that's somebody they're being vigilant. They realize that the telephone or the tablet could be something that is dangerous, and because of that, they want to make sure someone else is knowing what they're looking at. So that's that they're being weak. They're not weak at all. They're being vigilant. They're saying, hey, look, I want to make sure that I know the Lord sees everything I look at, and I don't want to have access to certain websites, and I want those things blocked. I don't want to have access to those things, and I'm also going to put up another safety wall. I'm going to have everything I looked at sent to my wife or sent to my husband, so that way they know everything that I'm seeing too. It keeps me accountable. It makes it to where I'm not going to be, and it's something that's I think is a wonderful tool that you can take and you can be vigilant about certain things. I have pastors that say they don't even have a computer inside their own office, which I think is a little crazy. I'd rather have something like Covenant Eyes because I want to work, but they said they don't have internet access in their office. It's only in a public location. Sometimes in certain houses, the computer is in a public location, so that way no one can be just surfing the internet because, you know, many times you put craziness inside your pocket. You put sin inside your pocket. And if there's no type of safety wall there, there are certain things you can do to be vigilant about. There are certain things that you can hold to. Satan is a major factor why we fall into sin. But also the Bible talks about in James chapter 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. That we're drawn away by our own lusts and the own things that we struggle with. So not only should we be vigilant about the devil, I think another thing we should consider is be vigilant about our weaknesses, our own weaknesses. I mentioned looking at wrong things on the website. That might not affect any of you. That might affect only the men in the room or the lady. You know, men are tempted with certain things that ladies are not tempted with, and ladies are tempted with certain things that men are not tempted with. Some people that have a certain personality, they might be tempted with certain things. Somebody that has a different type of personality, you know, an extrovert might not be tempted the same way that an introvert is tempted. We all have different things that we struggle with. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's without forgiving. Sometimes it's with being arrogant. Sometimes it's being, you know, whatever it is, we deal with different issues. And that's why the Bible is saying here is that we should be vigilant. We should be alertly watchful of what the devil is doing and how the devil's responding. But also in those areas that we are weak in are things that we need to say, okay, I struggle in this area and I need to set up these guidelines and these things because I need to keep my heart with all diligence. I need to be vigilant about it. There are certain things in my life, like for instance, if the TV is an issue for you in your life, then get rid of the TV or move to a spot where you know you can only use it when there's other people around. You know, so that's going crazy. No, that's saying, hey, I'm in a battle and I'm in a war and I need to be vigilant about these things. And there are certain things I struggle with. And maybe it's laziness. You know, don't give yourself the opportunity to be lazy. There are so many different things in our lives. If we would be honest and say, you know what, this is something I struggle with. This is something I need help with. This is something that I know I have fallen before in the past and I do not want to continue on falling with. Sometimes those sins are because of what type of individual we are. Sometimes those sins are generational sins. And the idea that there are certain things that my dad struggled with because I've watched my dad and that learned behavior is something that many times I will struggle with. Sometimes that's passed along. Sometimes it's the complete opposite. I used to watch my dad sometimes smoke or drink, and I saw what it did, and I saw what happened. And because of that, I never wanted to smoke. I never wanted to drink. But there's other things that we learn and have been passed down because of the fact that we've seen learned behavior. And it's something that's does that mean we have to sin that way? No. But it also means that we can be careful and we can understand that could be a weakness in our heart and our life. We're not making excuse for sin. We're just saying if we understand that we struggle with sin, we understand that there's sometimes things that are going to harm us, we should be vigilant against those things. We should be vigilant in our Christian life. We should go before God and say, Lord, search me, oh God, and know my heart. You know, show me if there's any wicked way in me. We should ask him to search us. If we are honest, we don't need somebody to tell us our own sins. Sometimes our heart becomes really, really hard, but if there are things that I struggle with, I know it because the Holy Spirit of God has always got his finger right there pointing on it. We need to work on this. We need to work on this. And he's encouraging me to do what's right. He's encouraged me to be vigilant. So when you think about having victory in your Christian life, you go back to that verse where you can have victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the ways is by being vigilant about it. Let's be sober. Let's be vigilant. Let's walk around seeking whom we may devour. Let's be careful. So many Christians want to live on the edge. They want to get as close to the world as they can without doing wrong. Sometimes when we have a dress code, whether it's guy or girl, we want to push it as far as we can without being wrong. Wouldn't it be so much easier if we just decided we're going to do right and not even get close to the edge? Not even do anything that's questionable? And so that's where it becomes to be about being vigilant. You're saying, hey, look, I am going to be alert with this. And yes, I'm going to be careful with my job. I'm going to be careful if someone's breaking into my house. Or if I'm in a very dangerous spot, I'm going to make sure I'm very careful the way I walk around. And I'm saying that if we want to have victory in our Christian lives, we need to learn to be very careful concerning the devil and realize that he's trying to attack us and trying to destroy us and trying to trip us up. But also, we need to be careful about our own weaknesses. Let's remember that. And let's make sure that we're fighting against it. Vigilance is the first key in winning the battle over victory. When we stop being vigilant in our Christian life, we stop growing. When we stop growing, we become stagnant. And when we become stagnant, we become lukewarm Christians who don't accomplish anything for the Lord because sin has taken over. Next thing, let's look at the letter I. So an acrostic you see here, we start at the letter V, and then we go to the letter I. Imagine the consequences. Once again, these might not be normal things you hear about having victory, but this is something I would use in counseling sometimes, especially with a young person, or especially with a couple that's dealing with their marriage, or especially with a couple that's dealing with their children. I tell them, consider what the end's going to look like. Consider what's going to happen. You know, you might not think that alcohol is going to hurt you, but imagine what alcohol could lead to. You see, the guy that's laying in the gutter never woke up that day and said, hey, I want to become an alcoholic. I want to throw my life away. I want to throw my family away. A person that has just killed somebody while drunk driving didn't start off that way. And if we would learn to have victory over sin, how we can have victory is by first being vigilant. Secondly, imagine the consequences. You know, consider the weaknesses that you had. Write those weaknesses down. See areas that you need to be vigilant in. Imagine the consequences. And many times the people that got caught, if they would have just taken time to look back and say, you know what, that wasn't the smartest thing to do. I shouldn't have trusted that person. I shouldn't try to do that. There's always pleasure in sin for a season. I would be false in telling you that there is not some pleasure when it comes to sin. And once again, there are certain things I've never experienced, but there are certain things that I'm sure you could give comments and say, you know what? It's fun not forgiving somebody. It's fun being the judge and the executioner, at least for a little while. It might be fun looking at pornography online. It may be fun doing certain things that last for just a brief moment. But we got to remember that pleasure is only very short-lived. And if we imagine the consequences that is attached to that, I know you've probably heard the saying that sin will cost you more than you expected to pay. Sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. Sin is not something we should play with. And if we imagine the consequences of how our sin will help affect us and affect our family, many times we will choose not to sin because we don't want to get involved in those other things. Think what about the Bible says Moses here. In Hebrews chapter number 11, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses, he sat and he had an opportunity. He was called of God to be a deliverer for the nation of Israel. He had a choice becoming what some historians will tell you, the next Pharaoh, at least the next line to be the next one underneath the Pharaoh, to be one of the most powerful men in all the world, if not the most powerful man alive. He had a choice. He says, I can stay with the Egyptians, or I can choose to suffer with the Israelites, his nation of heritage, the one where his belief in God was. And he thought about what it could be like, and to be Pharaoh, to be in charge, to worship their gods, to go that way, and to be. But he said, you know what? I'm going to choose instead of sin for a season, I'm going to choose to suffer the affliction with the people, because he knew where the Egyptian world and life was going to take him. And I want to encourage you today, consider the consequences. Our actions always has consequences. When we begin to believe that we can live without any type of consequences, we begin to believe we can live without answering for any of our actions, the devil finds the perfect opportunities to gain footholds in our lives. When we begin to think, well, this is not going to hurt me, this is not going to hurt anyone else, but we should learn to imagine the consequences that could happen. What does the Bible say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. It continues, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're talking about having victory over our Christian lives. And one of those ways to do that is say, okay, let's be vigilant. The second way is to say, if I partake in this sin, what could happen to my life? Consider what it would mean not to forgive somebody for a second. That bitterness that grabs a hold of us. We see it happens to others. If we choose not to forgive, that bitterness can spring up and not only just harm us, but harm others. What about the enjoyment or the thrill of stealing something, you know, to have something that did not belong to you, can be a pleasure for a season. It's a temporary thing that you can take and you can enjoy. And over, there's things in the Bible that speaks about our consequences. In the book of Proverbs, it speaks about anger, and six different times it talks about the consequence. It talks about alcohol and lists at least nine different times that there's consequences. It talks about bitterness, and at least three different times, it talks about the consequences. Solomon was carefully describing each of these consequences, so specifically, he wanted his son to be aware, when you do this, there is a consequence to your sin. When you treat your wife bad, there's going to be a consequence. When you treat your husband, there's going to be a consequence that someday, later on, I've sat across the couples and talked to couples before about their marriage and say, when you do this, you don't think you're hurting anybody, but you're many times burning bridges, or you're causing things to happen that's going to affect you down the road. And yes, there is grace, and yes, there is mercy, yes, there is help from the Lord. Don't get me wrong there. But if you can imagine the consequence that's going to happen, you can imagine the divorce. When you talk about something like pornography, you say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. Well, there might be pleasure in that for a little while, but you imagine how that affects your life and your marital life, and then someday it's going to affect your children's life, and it's something that's going to be passed down. If we would imagine the sinfulness of sin and the consequences that come along with it, then we might not do it. I don't know about you, but if I knew my dad was going to get a hold of me for doing something, most of the time I wasn't going to do it. Now, if it was my mom getting a hold of me, she couldn't spank me as hard, so it didn't bother me as much. But if I knew my dad was, I'm going to have to answer to my dad for it, that would stop me from doing it. But how the much more when we see sin and we see how sin has ruined the world we live in, and we see the how bad and how far the world has gone, and we sit there and we still play with the exact same sins that cause this wickedness. Now, I know it might not be to the extent, but we never know how far sin's going to take us when we open up the door to begin with. So let's remember, first of all, let's be vigilant. Secondly, let's make sure that we are going to be imagining our sins. And the third thing I like to think about is where we're at in Judges chapter number 3, is cry out to God. You know, so if we're vigilantly guarding against sin or imagining our consequences, the third thing is cry out to God. As you see here, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we truly want to have victory in our Christian lives, it's going to have to come through Jesus Christ. It's going to come through his power. When we were saved, he gave us the ability to overcome sin with his help. We can have victory through him. Perhaps you deal with a habitual sin. Maybe it's gossiping. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's your thought life. Maybe it's submission to authority. Maybe it's just reading your Bible. How many times in the morning have we gotten up and said, I don't know how many times I got up in the morning time and I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Or this is the day the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And those are ways that I wake up and I think, you know, today is going to be a great day spiritually. I'm going to get in my Bible. I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. Then my feet get on the ground. And when my feet get on the ground, there's a battle and there's a war. You know, you got all these things to do. You don't got enough time to read your Bible as long as you'd like to. You got all these things to do. You can pray in a little while. You got all these things you can do. You know, there is a battle that's going on and it's raging between my flesh and between my spirit. And I got to remember to give the things over to the Lord. I need to remember to cry out to God because our victory comes through the Lord. Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, but because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We got to get excited about the fact that we can cry out to God and God is willing to help us. This is not a secret in just repeating words. It is crying out to the Lord for deliverance. Although we might be able to live victoriously for a little while in our own self, and we can try our best to stay focused and disciplined, true victory comes from not our effort, but when we learn to depend upon his strength and his enablement. Remember that God delights in giving second chances. Remembering how God worked in the lives of so many different people, and more than just second chances and third chances and fourth chances, he continues to help. It talks about how a righteous man, he may fall, but he gets up seven different times. Let's look here in Judges chapter number 3. This whole book is about God giving second chances to the Israelites. Judges chapter number 3, verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, and the children did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Shamash, Rish-athaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served that guy 8 years. Think about it. Because they forgot the Lord was angry with them, and the Lord gave them or sold them into the hand, and they served this king of Mesopotamia for 8 years. And what happens in the book of Judges? They finally get a clue, and they finally come out to the realization there is one God, and he's treated us better, and we should not forget him. And they cry out. Look what it says in verse number 9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer of the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So here in the story is that they sinned, and they were delivered into slavery. And then they cried out to God, and as they cried out to God, God helped them. If we go to him confessing our sins, willing to forsake our sins, he cleanses us of all unrighteousness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promises us that. So if we would learn to cry out to him, it's a way of victory. If we're vigilant, if we can imagine what the consequences are going to be like, But if we learn to cry out to God, it's not about us. If we want to truly have victory, it's completely learning to depend upon Him and enable Him. This morning I was saying, Lord, I desperately need your help. Lord, help me stay clean. Help me to fight these things. I want to be right with you. Give me the words you want me to say today. It's crying out to Him and saying, Lord, help me. Look what it says in verse number 12 in the same book. Now the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, so what happens again? Same thing happens. The same sin happens. But the wonderful thing is that even though we've done wrong before, we can ask God to do right again. We can ask God to help us to be right with Him again. Now, this is not saying it's a license to sin. Obviously, they were punished. But instead, if we want to have victory, we've got to remember it's about crying out to God. And later on in this chapter, I believe it was Eglon that came and was the deliverer. This is how God operates. It's never too late for us to come back to Him. We can ask for forgiveness. We can ask for strength. We can ask for enabling. You say, Pastor, I've been dealing with this sin of or the sin of jealousy, the sin of treating others wrong for so many years. I don't know how I can have victory. This is how you have victory. You become vigilant. You say, okay, I know I'm struggling in this area. I'm going to be vigilant against the devil. I'm going to set up safeguards. I'm going to get maybe accountability partners. I'm going to write down those things I struggle with. I'm going to find some verses to help give the Holy Spirit of God ammunition for me to use against those things. And I'm going to be vigilant. I'm not going to put myself in a place that's going to cause me to be harmed. Like, for instance, if you're struggle with drink, you definitely don't want to go to a bar. I don't know why you need to go to a bar anyway, but you don't want to go to a bar. You struggle with a certain area. You need to get rid of maybe certain people that cause those issues to happen easier to you. And then you imagine what the consequences could be like. Consider the road and consider how, if you follow it all the way out, what's going to end up being like at the end of the life or when the sin comes to full fruition. And when you let the devil sit there and allow sin to stay in your life, you've given him a foothold to where he will take as much space as he can. But this next point about crying out to God, the Bible says, for a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. Cry out to him today. If you want to have victory in your Christian life, don't say, hey, you've done this before. That's what the devil wants you to believe. You have 2 options. Number one, you can listen to the devil whispering in your ear, there's no way you can ever have victory over that. There's no way you could ever be what God wants you to be as a wife or a husband. There's no way that you could ever memorize that scripture or faithfully read your Bible every day. There's no way that you could forgive that person. The devil will try to say, hey, you've done that before. Don't even worry about it. Or your second option is to cry out to God and say, God, I know what your word says. I know I can reckon myself dead. I know what your word says, God. I want you to help me to have victory. Where the Bible says that is, thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know that your mercies are new every morning and that you're faithful. I know you did it in the book of Judges for the people of Israel and that you can do for us today. I'm going to take you at your promise. You have an option today. You can live in sin and stay in sin, or you can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. How does it happen? It happens by crying out to God. And I know those sins sometimes are hard. I know sometimes they is that sin that's so easily besetting us. But are we really truly vigilant towards it? Do we really truly take steps to limit our access to those things that cause us to fall? Do we really walk circumspectly and wondering what could be around the next corner and say, it's worth it in your Christian life. It's worth it to battle the sin. It's worth it. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. He's not saying it just to give a good preaching verse. He's not just saying it to scare the kids. He's saying you can have victory in your Christian life if you would learn to be vigilant and then consider, imagine, and you go through and you see what sin did to David with Bathsheba. You see what the sin did with so many other people in the Bible that it carried out and what happened in the end when it was conceived. It brought forth death. Be careful. Imagine the consequences. But the real hope we have is to cry out to God. Let Him help you. We need His enablement and we need His strength. Crying out to God forces us to recognize the true source of victory over sin. Crying out to God forces us to acknowledge that we have a problem in our life. Crying out to God forces us to take action. If you see that sin in your heart and you see that sin in your life, the first thing that crying out to God does, you're acknowledging that you have a problem. You're acknowledging that there's a problem. That's the first step. I have an issue, Lord, with this selfishness. I have an issue, Lord, with this laziness. I have an issue, Lord, with faithfulness. And then the second step is when you're crying out to God, not only recognize you have a problem, that there's an action that needs to take. There's something that needs to change in my life. I don't want to stay this way. If I continue to be lazy, then in the end, it's going to hurt my body. It's going to hurt my my family. It's going to hurt my future. I know there's an action I need to take. Last but not least, when you cry out to God, you recognize who the one is that can help us. So when you cry out to the Lord, not only does it show you that there is an issue and a problem in our life, because there's so many people say, I don't struggle with that. I sat with a husband and wife before, and the husband just goes on and on about the issue, and she's like, I don't struggle with that. The wife might sit there and say over and over, this is what the problem is. He says, I don't have any issues with that. And they don't even realize they're a problem, but when you get before a holy God and you see yourself in God's eyes and God's light, it's not just, I don't have a problem. I have all these problems, God, and I need your help with this. So it helps us recognize there's a problem. It helps us see that there's an action that should be taken, and it realizes that God is the only answer for that. So we see this acrostic. If we want to have victory in our Christian life, let's begin being vigilant. You know, for instance, you use this as an example. I like my tablet. Most of you guys see me carry it, and the reason why I carry it is because I like to keep my calendar there. And as you get older, I forget things. So if I don't look at my calendar, I'll forget to do something. And I still forget things sometimes, even though I have it written down there. Sometimes I'll read it too much. And I'll just be doing too much stuff on it and different things like that. Not that it's bad things, but it takes up my time. I enjoy reading about news. I enjoy reading about sports. I enjoy doing this or enjoy doing that. So for me to be vigilant and say, you know, I want to make sure God's first, I might have to leave this downstairs instead of next to my bed, because next to my bed, I might be tempted to get up and read it instead of reading my Bible first. I remember a preacher, I think it was Mark Campbell, his name, he says he loved reading the newspaper, he loved reading news. He made God a commitment, I'm not going to ever read newspaper before I read my Bible. Heard a preacher one time who was a little bit more heavy set, bigger than me, that means really big. He said, I love eating breakfast. He says, I made sure I told God one time I was never going to put something in my mouth before I read his Bible, because I want to put first priority there. There are certain things they were taking steps, little things, but helped them. They made commitments to God. And there are certain things that we can set up in our lives to be vigilant. And when we do that, it helps us imagine that God has saved us from a certain type of sin. What happens when we don't read our Bible? We become lethargic. We don't know his word. The power of God is not with us. We begin to become weaker, and we're feeding the flesh more than the spirit. There's little things that we can do to help be vigilant. Consider what the end's going to be like. And last but not least, cry out to God. So next week, we're going to look at T-O-R-Y, or at least a couple of them, as we go through the acrostic of victory. But hopefully, you'll want to have victory in your Christian lives. Let's have a word of prayer. God, I thank you for these three just practical things. And Lord, they're all found in the scriptures. Lord, when we talk about imagining what the end's going to be like, you might say, well, where's that found at? Well, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. We need to understand that whatever we are sowing to, that's what we're going to reap. And as we consider what the end of our sin is going to look like, Lord, help us to make sure that we don't want any part of that. We see what happened to Saul in the battlefield. We saw what David happened on the rooftop. We saw what Peter did by denying Christ. All these little things where you tell us to watch and to pray, to be vigilant. And Lord, help us to see where sin's going to take us and help us to fight against it. Help us to battle. Help us to understand our dependence upon you and cry out to you. Lord, I pray that this week we have some more victory in our Christian life than defeat. So many people today struggle in so many areas. It's become normal to them to continue on sinning. And Lord, that's not normal Christianity. That's not how you saved us and what you saved us for. Thanks be to God that we can have our victory through you. Lord, help us to live this week victorious. Help us to be vigilant. Help us to imagine what, if we continue with the way we're going, what it's going to end up or what it could end up like. And help us to cry out to you. Help us recognize the problem, help us see the action, and help us to take steps and depend upon you for your help and your enablement and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.